Let me explain around this how it works. So your mind is above nutrition. Absolutely above, you know. So I'm a clinical nutritionist, you know, 11 years of clinical experience, master's degree in nutrition. I'm telling you, your mind is above nutrition.
Hey folks, we're about to kick off with this week's podcast. Before we kick it off, here's a nice little philosophy moment with my pal Andre King Comedy. Enjoy.
Oh, this is my Kiwi life.
Do not settle for anything. To think this is the best it's going to be, I'm going to keep it for as long as I can, is to condemn yourself to a half-life.
Hey to all our friends out there. Will Fleming is my name, and thank you for joining me for this week's podcast, this week's episode of My Kiwi Life. Well, first of all, if you're a new listener, choice, thumbs up, hugs to you. Thank you for joining us. If you're part of the crew now, part of the furniture of My Kiwi Life, huge high fives, huge hugs. Thank you again for joining us on another episode, another adventure, where we try and work out all together what the heck is this life about. I mean, that's how this podcast started. You know that. I'm 35. I've got the job, I got the wife, I got everything that I wanted, but what now? It feels like it's all built up to this point. And I just want to make sure that going to the next point, we're all doing it right. You know what I mean? There's so many different ideas out there, and I don't know which one to trust, you know? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. So hopefully, the idea is we'll get awesome people to join me in the podcast's New Zealand studio, and we'll just work this out. We'll just keep going through this. What's the meaning of it all? How did you find your way? How did you navigate your way and make it and get it right? That's all I want. That's all I want. So when the day comes, when it's all over, when it's shut up shop, when it's lights out, we've at least had a good go instead of thinking, man, what the heck was that about? Whew, that was deep. I didn't mean this intro to be so deep. Let's talk about this week's guest. Ben Warren is his name. He started a company called bepure.co.nz. He's a New Zealand's, well, one of New Zealand's leading nutritionists. He's got a wicked story about how he wanted to be a golf player, but he tells you a story about how that dream didn't come. And what is so important about that is that he's the story that we never hear. He had the dream. He failed at it, but he learned from it and moved on. He was able to take these bits in life that just pop up randomly and make sense of it all. And I feel like we're in that same boat too. So Ben Warren joins me right now, right after this intro. That's why I'm going to try and keep it short. I'm hearing your feedback. The intros are too long. Apologies about that. My mum likes them. Okay, My Kiwi Life is where you can find all of the conversations I've had with all types of different people. You can follow me on Twitter at WillFlemingNZ. And that's about it, folks. Happy to have you with me for this week's episode of My Kiwi Life. But enjoy this week's podcast with hopefully my new friend Ben Warren.
My Kiwi Life, let's play the game of life today. My Kiwi Life, the ups and downs we live each day. This is my Kiwi Life. Oh, this is my Kiwi Life.
Ben Warren, nutritionist, thanks for joining me.
I was like, is that real?
Yeah. We're on. We're going.
Okay, yeah, awesome. Thanks, Will. Thanks for having us here.
Look, we'll go into who you are, what you do, but I want to start off just a bit different. How's your day been?
My day's been, it's been amazing. Yeah, we've been just up in Auckland for some training and some advanced training around hematology and looking at blood and looking at what's going on in blood and actually looking at living blood cells and you can tell a lot about somebody's health from their blood. And so just getting some advanced training in that. And so I'm looking forward to applying that to my clinic.
Awesome. And is this the kind of typical day? You're on the move? You're going to meet people?
Yeah, it is, very much so. So life's pretty busy. So, you know, even like today, obviously, so we've had a full clinical day from 8 o'clock and then exam. And then obviously here to see you guys. And then I'm off to go see Tim Fenn and for dinner. So it's kind of like it's kind of out there.
Tim Finn.
Not the guitarist. Oh, okay. From Remix.
Oh, gotcha. You could have lied there. I would have believed you.
Really?
All right, man. So where are you from? I know you're from, you live in New Zealand, you're a Kiwi.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from North London. So yeah, I've been out of London though for a long time, since I was 19. I'm 42 now, so do the math. Yeah. And got out of London, went to live in the States for 5 years, met my wife who's a Kiwi.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I always joke that I'm a souvenir from her OE, but she brought me back to New Zealand, and I love New Zealand.
And how long have you been in New Zealand?
I've been here now, it's probably like since 98, so what's that, 17 years? So yeah, we're a little while now.
And what was your kind of thinking about New Zealand before you came? Was it like the Lord of the Rings type? You thought everything was going to be,
well, I don't know. It was obviously pre Lord of the Rings, yeah. I guess. So for me, I had always heard it was an incredible country, and I'd been lucky enough to travel a lot, and so I was like, well, let's go have a look see. And I have to admit, even just arriving at the airport, I was like, really, is this the airport? Where's the rest of it? Because I was used to London, Heathrow and Gatwick, and as an international airport. But now you get to love that. And for me now, I sort of like when I arrive back at Auckland Airport, and it's like one terminal, and you sort of go, nice to be home.
Yeah,
always nice to be home. And so this is home now.
It's hard because I married a German lady, so she likes that part about New Zealand. Simple, it's very easy. But there's things that frustrate her, like double glazing. She doesn't understand why there's moldy houses.
Yeah.
She says to me, Germany sorted that out years ago.
Yes, true.
Why do Kiwis put up with it?
I have to admit, the houses here are the coldest houses I've ever experienced anywhere in the world. They're freezing. Fortunately, I live in a straw bale house now, which is very warm and has double glazing, actually. Your wife will be pleased to hear.
Yeah.
I think for most Kiwis, it's pretty extreme.
Is food a bit the same in New Zealand? I mean, do we get used to eating cheaper food? I mean, if I go to Pack and Save and I've got a family, I'm thinking price.
Yeah.
And I wonder what the trade-off there is. I mean,
I think it is an issue. I guess for me, when I start looking at the food side and food culture in New Zealand, there's kind of like two cultures. You've got the farming culture, where they're basically growing their own veggies, eating their own home kale, and that's pretty darn good. And then you've got everyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
And, everyone else is buying their food in supermarkets, and they're certainly, buying on price, and it's carnage.
Yeah, I know. I'd love to revisit that later, but I feel like if people are listening, they're like, who's this guy Ben? He's got a sexy voice. He sounds cool. He's from London now. He's a Kiwi. So where does it start for you? I mean, what do you want to be when you're a kid? Is it nutrition all the way through?
No, not at all. Originally, I'm from North London, and North London is just football. That's it. There's no other sport. Like our school couldn't even get a first 15 together because nobody wanted to play rugby, which is kind of like, I'm a pretty good size for rugby. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. And so, it was football. I got a really bad knee injury at 15, and doctor said I can't play football anymore, and I got bored, and my dad gave me a set of golf clubs. And so I started playing golf, and very quickly I became a very good golfer, better than scratch golfer within just a few years.
Is that right?
And got a scholarship to go to the study in the States. And so it was really much to be a professional golfer.
Really?
Yeah. So I played at a top university in the States and graduated in experimental psychology and met my wife. And it was a natural progression to become a pro golfer. And so I went, and you have to get a tour card. And so I went for my tour card, missed my tour card by a shot, which was devastating. And I had a bad back, and it was really affecting my ability to play. And so I became a professional golf coach for 3 years.
Really?
while I was trying to get my back fixed. And I went on a course to learn about optimal joint mechanics, which is how you can hit a golf ball better, right? That's what I was interested in. And I met a lady, and she just looked at me and she said, Ben, I hope you don't mind me saying this. I can see you've got a bad back. And I'm like, well, how do you know that? And she's like, well, I can see you've got a twist in your pelvis, you've got scoliosis in your spine, you've got one shoulder higher than the other when you swing golf club just then, your abdominal muscles weren't firing, your back stuffed. Now, I actually knew that. I'd been working with the All Blacks physio, I'd been, a good chiropractor, osteopath, but she then looked at me and she went, yeah, it looks like it's a food intolerance, looks like it's dairy.
Really?
And I looked at her like, what, you nuts? Because, I'd been working with top people and had a bad back for a number of years, and nobody had ever said to me that the food I was eating could be contributing to that.
Right.
And I was like, huh. And I'm like, well, how's that work? And she started explaining how we have shared nerve innervation, that if you start shutting down an organ, you start shutting down the muscles that are on the same circuit. And she's like, I'm just guessing it's dairy because, you know, you don't breathe very well through your nose and your head's migrated forward so you can breathe better through your mouth. And I'm just like, wow. But I'm real scientific in my thinking. So I said to her, well, you know, is there a test I could do for this? Mm. And she goes, yeah, you can do an ELISA test. No labs run it in New Zealand, but you send it to America. And I'm like, okay, let's do that. So sorted that out, and it was quite expensive, and 3 weeks later it came back that was whey protein intolerant, which is a protein that's found in dairy.
Wow.
And so I'd already sort of cut out dairy, and within just a few weeks I'd already noticed, like, for the first time in my life, I'd flattened my abdominal wall, which was pretty cool, because my whole life I'd looked, even as a 10-year-old, I looked like I drank a dozen beers a day. Oh, really? I had always just had a big hard tummy.
Yeah.
And my asthma started going away, and I was just like, this is insane, this is unbelievable. And my back started getting better, and I was like just hooked. I was just hooked that nutrition could have this much impact on my body.
Yeah.
And so I called her up and said, where did you train? And she trained through one of the top health and performance institutes in the world, the Czech Institute in California. And I'm like, said to my wife, this is what I want to do. I want to be able to look at people and see what's wrong with them, see what's going on. And yeah. And so I went and retrained for 3 years, and then opened up a clinic. And then with nutrition, it's what you don't know that really catches you out. And so I went and did a master's degree too in holistic nutrition through one of the top universities in the States.
Wow.
So yeah, it was never, and I've been with my now wife, pretty much through that journey. So, you know, she still sort of, I think, pinches herself and go, really, is this the same guy I first met? Because golf was my life. And I guess I have that personality trait that when I decide to do something, I do it.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so it was never always, you know, you couldn't have written it.
I mean, that's interesting, because that's the thing. If people read your profile, I don't know if they get that, but I think that's quite inspiring, you know, that it wasn't nutrition that you set out to do. You happened to come across it through something else.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many people out there don't ask that question and they just carry on with life and put up with it, because we're pretty good at putting up with it.
Yeah, I'm incredibly lucky, Will. I now realize that if she hadn't have said that and I'd gone down, you know, I'd be a pro golfer coach right now, no doubt about that. But, you know, I would at 42 right now, I'd probably be sliding into type 2 diabetes. I'd be real high risk of a heart attack. I'd have asthma. I may even be developing an autoimmune disease right now if she hadn't have said that to me.
Yeah.
And so for me, missing my tour card by a shot was the best thing that ever happened.
I bet you didn't feel like it then.
Oh, boy, for a few years, mate, I can tell you. It wasn't good.
Remember that moment? Oh, is it locked in?
Oh, absolutely, of course. Sitting in the clubhouse and seeing that the cut was coming through for cards, and I was going to be out by one. And, you know, you think about, obviously, the shots you missed, and you think about the short putt you missed, and you go, wow, this is like just changed my whole life.
Mm. So when you were golfing, obviously, it was about the physical. What about mentally? Was there tips and tricks that you were doing to prepare? Were you visualizing?
Yeah, absolutely. So my undergraduate degree is in experimental psychology, which is psychology is obviously the relationship between the mind and the body. And I did that specifically for sports performance. And experimental means I'm trained in reading and writing research. So I've always had a massive interest in the mind, personal development, and performance. And so, yeah, it doesn't matter whether you're trying to hit a golf ball, or it doesn't matter what you're doing. Obviously, your mind controls the system. Let me explain around this how it works. So your mind is above nutrition, absolutely above. And, you know, so I'm a clinical nutritionist. You know, 11 years of clinical experience, master's degree in nutrition. I'm telling you, your mind is above nutrition.
Wow.
All right. And the reason your mind's above nutrition is because whatever's lighting up in your brain, you've got an area of the back of the brain that's looking at what's lighting up, and then it's telling your hormone systems what hormones you need to survive for the next 3 seconds based on what's lighting up.
Wow.
So whatever you're thinking about is actually then controlling all of your physiology, all of your cells through hormones. And so, yeah, it's quite incredible. So every 3 seconds, your body is deciding what you need to survive for the next 3 seconds based on what you're thinking, not on what you're eating. So what your thoughts directly affect all the physiology of your body. Massively.
It's so hard to comprehend that for me, I'm not someone who really has critically analyzed that kind of world. I'm aware there's something going on, there's a connection,
Yeah.
But I think I still run on autopilot, you know, and I like the fact that you're here and others out there who may be the same looking for some answers, you know.
Yeah.
Like, how do we get into that part of the brain? Is there simple techniques that, you know, for example, you can recommend?
Yeah.
Is it waking up and is it breathing? I came across another podcast that had a guest called Wim Hof. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's into breathing, and
cool.
He's got this breathing technique that lets him stay in ice water for like 2 hours.
Wow.
And they tested him. They put like some poison in him.
Yep.
And he did his breathing technique, and his body, through thought and whatever, produced the right things to get rid of it.
Absolutely.
And I was kind of like, oh, well, I wonder if it's some David Copperfield magic stuff.
Well, just on this training, we're on live blood training at the moment, and one of the advanced trainers who's training me in it at the moment, she was saying that she had a client who had a bad result regarding IVF treatment that they were getting. And her blood work went from the previous day being fantastic to being an absolute mess.
Wow.
And so they could actually see it in all the red blood cells. They could see it in the shapes of red blood cells. They could see it in the white blood cells. And all that would happen was a mental emotional issue in her life.
Wow.
And it completely changed her blood hemodynamics, which is, it's incredible.
Wow. So, okay, let's try and break it down a little bit. I'm a very simple guy, Ben, okay? And I appreciate you being patient with me. What's something I can do tomorrow that's going to get me back on that path, you know?
Okay.
And I guess where this will go is a bit into the high fat, low carb.
Yeah.
I'm kind of starting it.
Okay.
It's hard. I'm still thinking I'm going to fall over eating bacon for breakfast, but we'll cross that bridge.
Yeah.
So I guess it starts with the mind. What's tomorrow looking like for me?
I think the first thing you want somewhere to start, and you're starting at the mind wheel, is start with awareness. So what are you actually eating? Okay, so obviously awareness, if you're looking at a mind level, you can now start looking at what are your thoughts actually doing and being aware of them, but that's kind of like a more high level. But let's start at a basic level with what am I actually eating, and actually being aware of what you're actually eating, because so many people are just so unaware of what they're eating, and they don't realize, you know, what they're doing, I suppose. They're on autopilot, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely on autopilot. So even just being aware and spending a day looking at what did I actually eat today? And then kind of go, ooh. And this is where food diary is so good. You know, that's, you know, a lot of people get benefit from writing a food diary.
Yep.
And then obviously they see a nutritionist, and they'll go, oh, you went through this, and oh, you ate that. And then you look at it and go, ooh, wow, you actually did, eat a lot of this particular type of food, or, you know, yeah.
You actually got to make an effort to say, what am I doing?
Yeah.
It's like a third person role almost.
Absolutely. Yeah. You just got to check in. So I'd start by checking in and seeing, what are you actually eating? You know, so like asking the question, what are you actually eating for breakfast?
Yeah.
It's a good place to start.
But what about people who do like a cereal in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not maybe aware that it's so full of sugar.
Yeah, exactly.
And they think they're being healthy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Will. Listen, Ministry of Health statistic, 90% of New Zealanders think they're healthy. 90%. Mm. It makes me laugh because, I'm doing this practitioner training right now with some of the healthiest practitioners in the country, and they're going, oh my gosh, I'm not healthy. And they're the healthiest people in the country, pretty much. And
right?
So, but 90%. So, yeah, a lot of people will be eating these cereals, like you say, and going, I'm healthy, I'm doing the right thing, because they've been told to do it by commercial interests primarily. And, they're eating these foods. In one study of over 200,000 nurses, the number one food that was associated with whether nurses would have heart disease or not was whether they were eating high glycemic index breakfast cereals.
Really?
Yeah. So like cornflakes.
Yeah.
Cornflakes. So cornflakes gets the sugar gets into the blood from cornflakes faster than eating sugar. Glycemic index is higher.
Right. And you've known this since after golf? That's when you kind of came across this?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the information I'm sharing with you today is an accumulation of all those years.
Yeah.
Quite quickly, I realized these things and obviously started, you know, I know like the high fat, low carb things, you know, really getting big now, but you know, I've been saying that for 11 years. So it's kind of like, it's really lovely that it's on people's awareness.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's right for everybody, by the way. But it's certainly, we know that processed carbohydrates, and we know that sugar is, those two are real problems.
It's interesting because I know you said just now, you did say it just now, that is not for everybody, that diet.
Yeah.
And I did read that online about you. I mean, that's interesting for me because it's We all look for the one thing that's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, the magic pill, the magic diet, Atkins, Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
Is it tailored based on your body? I mean,
it is. Yeah. It really is.
How do you know that, though?
Okay, let's get into that. So,
they come to you, don't they?
There's a few questions around that, but we can help you, listeners. There's a bunch of questions right there. So the first one is, yes, we're all different. So everybody's autonomic nervous system is responding differently to food. Everyone's immune system is responding differently to food. So you know, everyone's systems are different. We know that. I can stand at a seminar and say, how many of you can eat an apple and you're more hungry after eating the apple than before the apple? And a third of them will put their hand up. And then I'll say, well, how many of you can eat an apple and you'll be full for 2 hours after eating the apple? And another third of them will put their hand up. Their bodies are all responding differently to that apple. And so it's about, and so we know that at one end of the spectrum, you've got African tribesmen. They were getting 80% of their calories from carbohydrates, a whole grain sorghum, really healthy doing that. At the other end of the spectrum, you've got Inuit. They were getting 80% of their calories from fat and protein. Native American Indians, 80% of their calories, red meat, buffalo, really healthy doing that. So we know there's a genetic continuum around how much fat, protein, and carbohydrate we should be eating. And then we also know that, you know, about eating, trying to eat right for you. And essentially what it comes back to is trying to stabilize blood sugar levels as much as possible.
Yeah.
So for some people, they're going to need to eat high fat, high protein. For others, they're going to need to be eating carbohydrates.
Yeah.
When I say carbohydrates, you know, like whole grains, fruit, vegetables predominantly.
And they would come to someone like you, Ben, to, and you would help them find their way through that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a process that basically takes about 3 weeks. And it's, you know, we have a program called the BPO program that's an online program that helps people do that.
Yeah.
And it's basically you answer a bunch of questions around yourself. And then you start challenging yourself with some different foods. So literally, you know, you have porridge for breakfast and you see how long you stay full for a porridge for breakfast.
Nice.
And then you have bacon and eggs and you see how long you stay full for bacon and eggs and you see how you feel. And then you have a salad for lunch. And then you have a steak for lunch and you go, well, which one do I feel better on? Yeah. Which one keeps me full and which one gives me more energy? And you start fine tuning it. And after about 3 weeks, you're going to find, you know, where you sit on this continuum, and you're going to be able to, you know, walk into any cafe, any restaurant, and order any food that's going to work for you. And what it does, it dramatically increases energy. It helps people lose weight and it stabilizes blood sugar levels, which is, you know, one of the key things that we need to do for, you know, obviously weight loss and to protect against modern diseases, you know, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity.
And those are things people can do now, which is freaking me out, you know, because it's not like we're not waiting for the technology to change or something. It's happening.
Oh, it's here.
In front of you.
Yeah, we know it. We know it. And the results are profound in regards to, so with my clients I work one-on-one with through the clinic, we do a lot of testing. So we do a lot of blood work. So invariably a regular client of mine will do 60 blood tests. So we're tracking all the major metabolic pathways.
Yeah.
And you will see incredible results within 3 months just from making these very, very basic changes, you know, some basic nutritional changes and some based nutritional supplements to get what they pick up on what they're missing. And it's incredible what happens.
What's interesting for me is that we haven't mentioned exercise yet. Now, I know that's important. We talked a bit about your golf, but I feel like for many years – that's what's been pushed on people.
Oh, it is. You're so right.
Calorie in, calorie out.
You got it.
Know? And maybe it was the Coke commercials that did it, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where your calorie comes from.
Yeah.
You just got to run.
Yeah.
But I feel like with the food around today, you know, you got to be running all day or...
Oh, it's... you're so right, Will. We've been so trained that you're just not exercising enough. That's what they think, you know. But what we now know is that weight gain and weight loss is primarily hormonal, which means that it's hormones that controls our body's ability to gain weight and and lose weight. And so it makes perfect sense because you only got to think, we all know somebody who's skinny as a rake and they eat whatever they like and they never put on an ounce of fat. Okay. And then we know people who are, you know, who are trying to lose weight. And usually these people, you know, are 40, 45 year old females and they eat like a sparrow and they've only got to look at a muffin and they put on weight.
Yeah.
And that's because it's hormonal. And so weight gain, weight loss is primarily hormonal. And so you this whole thing we've been told we've got to be exercising, you've got to be, you know, we know that's not it. We know that probably 90% of weight loss, yes, exercise is still important, but 90% of weight loss is going to be what you're eating.
Yeah. And it's that sugar too, right? You know, and it's causing that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, sugar's the, I guess, the number one evil. And then you've got processed grains that act on your body like sugar.
Really?
Yeah. So those processed grains, you know, people don't realize is that two slices of wholemeal bread raises your blood sugar levels faster than 5 teaspoons of sugar.
Mm.
So that's the worst thing anyone could, you know, if you're type 2 or trying to lose, it was the worst thing you could possibly eat. You just, it's like, it's just sugar coming in the system. Why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
But people don't know that.
Yeah.
And so that's where, you know, like great shows like yours, you know, enables us to sort of educate people around this stuff.
And they're getting it for free, Ben, but they need to come to you to get the comprehensive so you can look after them, do the blood test.
That's certainly help them when they're ready.
Yeah, there's not a podcast. Don't test your own blood while listening to this. Here's something interesting as well. I stole a little bit of your stuff offline. I read a line that said, you know, get off drinking water from plastic bottle.
Yeah.
And I told a few pals at work and I was like, guys, don't drink it from the plastic bottle because it will slow down your fat burn. They're like, really? I was like, yeah. And then I walked off and I was like, nice. Thanks, Ben.
Nice.
I mean, what's the deal there? The chemicals in the bottle?
Yeah. So the PCBs, dioxins, what they do, they leach into the water. So theoretically, they're safe for one-time use, but you don't want to keep reusing the plastic bottle. And then what happens is they come into our bodies and they mimic a hormone called estrogen. So we've already established essentially that weight loss is essentially hormonally driven. And so, by the way, hormones are chemical messengers that tell your cells what to do. It's a bit technical, but that's what they do. And so, so it mimics estrogen, which is, it's primarily a female hormone. And what then starts happening is we start getting estrogen dominant. And then that starts messing up our insulin receptor sites, which are related to our ability to store fat and use fat. And basically what starts happening is we start gaining body fat. So for men, you know, if somebody's very estrogen dominant, they'll start getting man boobs.
Mm.
And for women, estrogen dominance, you know, things will be, you know, they'll have more higher symptoms of PMT. They'll store more fat on their hips. They will. And then at the extreme end, you've got health conditions like endometriosis, which are associated with that. So let me just share a story with you. A number of years ago, I did a talk at a Pilates center just getting to talk about water. It was literally a friend of mine. She said, come in, talk about water for just 10 minutes. I want my people to drink more water. So we spoke about water. And one of the ladies asked, you know, what about plastic water bottles? Are they okay? And I explained pretty much what I explained to you. And so, it was 59 women and one guy. So this is like before Pilates was cool for guys too. And so anyway, they basically started drinking more water and they all went from plastic water bottles to either glass or stainless steel drinking bottles. And so I called up with Leanne, who owns the Pilates Center, about 6 weeks after that talk. And she said, Ben, this is incredible. That is the biggest weight loss I've ever seen in a group of people.
Wow.
And all that we'd done was change their water bottle and get them to drink more water. Mm. So it is massively important.
I mean, think about the milk bottles that we get, the juice bottles.
Well, this is the thing, Will. It's everywhere. So these xenoestrogens are everywhere. This is part of the modern world. You know, you're sitting here, this carpet is right now off-gassing xenoestrogens. They're everywhere. Mm. It's the modern world. We've got incredible stuff, but it's actually really tough to be healthy in the modern world.
Ben, will our bodies adapt to all this stuff, or are we changing as humans? Do you know what I mean? Is our bodies trying to adapt to all this poison that's around us? Or
I think it will. I think it will. They reckon, you know, obviously you have genetics and then you've got epigenetics, which is the environmental expression of your genes. And it looks like they do change quite quickly, actually. And so, but I don't think that's going to be, you know, it'll be in maybe 3 or 4 generations time that our bodies will adapt. So our bodies lost the ability to make vitamin C over time.
Really?
And, you know, perhaps our body will get that capacity back. Yeah. I don't know. I think our bodies definitely do adapt. They're super smart.
Yeah.
It's super, super smart. Yeah. But at the moment, I'm the second generation of faulty nutrition. And so for me, you see epigenetic changes. So I had major problems with my jaw. My jaw wasn't big enough as a teenager. So I had lots of teeth coming through everywhere. I had to have lots of braces, orthodontal work. I had to have like 15 teeth out when I was 15 because I had too many teeth.
Really?
And not enough jaw. And so that's an epigenetic expression. I've had my genetics tested, so I know theoretically what I'm going to die from, and then I protect against that. But I've got a lot of epigenetic or genetic markers that my mum and dad don't have, which is, and again, that's environmental expression from nutrition generally from my mum's side when she was pregnant. So anyway, that's a complete rant. It's I just go down the side road. Don't mind me, Will.
This is not traditional media, Ben. We're allowed to talk. That's also been weaned out of us. We don't talk anymore. Actually, that's an interesting point. I remember catching a bus going to work. I thought I was doing my bit for the environment. And I looked around all these people and everyone had their headphones on. And I was like, what are they doing? You know, why aren't we talking? And so I Googled, what are people listening to on buses?
Yeah.
And podcasts came up. It's like, what's a podcast?
Wow.
So I started listening and then I was like, well, I'm sure we've got our own people here
who,
you know, got a story as well. So again, thank you for being here.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Ben, does this stuff dominate your thoughts? Do you dream about nutrition, science, the human mind, the body, that golf shot?
Not the golf shot anymore, mate. I'm well over the golf shot. Yeah. Basically, as soon as that lady said to me and I cut their ear out, the lights went on and I actually really didn't play golf for 10 years.
Really?
It's only the last few years that I've now started playing golf again just to spend time with my father. So I have no interest in hitting a golf ball anymore.
Mm.
It's absolutely dominated by nutrition. Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I just geek out on stuff.
And is it difficult for you to look at society? Like, I imagine you're kind of, I don't want to use the word enlightened, but you know, you've seen it for over 11 years.
Yeah, I live in a bubble, mate.
Yeah.
I live in Hawke's Bay first and foremost, which, you know, we got the best food in pretty much in the Western world, potentially the best food in the world. And, you know, I live on a 15-acre permaculture designed organic nutrient dense farm where we grow 80% of our own food.
Mm.
So yeah, I live in a bubble. And so it really amazes me. I don't get out, you know, I'm surrounded by nutritionists and people that are involved with what I do who are all of, you know, they're all into the same thing. So it's a complete bubble, mate. And so I get shocked when I go elsewhere.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I sometimes have trouble dealing with it. Like I can't go to Pack and Save and stand at the checkout.
Yeah.
It's just, it's too much. It's too hard.
Yeah.
It's too hard. People are just killing themselves. They're just like, yeah.
Sad, eh? I'm one of those people who, you know, you get stuck in a rut. It's the Matrix.
Yeah.
You fall into line. You go, you can afford this. So, you know, we often have times where you hold up those 10 bags of chips versus this and you're like, oh, that's $2 something.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's just not.
And we all know it too.
Yeah. It's just not food. And I know people say, you know, it's the money thing, but it's not. It's not the money thing, because if you haven't got your health, you haven't got anything.
Mm.
And so it's really not about the money. It's, I don't know what it's, if I had the answer to that, then obviously I'd probably be on Oprah or something. But I don't know what the answer is to that, but I don't believe it is money. I believe that everybody, pretty much, I know every, that's a big statement. You know, most people in New Zealand can afford to have, you know, to eat good food, and it's just finding what it is to help people do that.
Yeah. Ben, this might be wrong, but I heard through someone else who had been to a seminar of yours that some person was eating fruit and veggie,
uh-huh.
and they came to you and the test showed that they were still unhealthy.
Yeah.
And it was something around this idea, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded great when I was telling everyone at work, the way veggies are growing, they don't have the same nutrition in them.
That's right.
They don't taste yummy. And that's why when you give
a
kid an apple or it tastes watery.
Exactly. I mean, you're onto it, Will.
Well, I'm a stealer. I'm a stealer, Ben.
You're doing good. Yeah, it is. And so at the moment, it looks like, based on the latest research, nobody's been doing this research in New Zealand, that we're only getting about 10% of the nutrients in the food that we used to get. And there's a number of reasons for this. You know, the fact that we're eating out of season, so the food's old. So as soon as you pick an apple, or you start losing the B vitamins over time, the vitamin C starts getting oxidized. So by the time, if it's been a pack house for 6 months and then it comes, you know, it's old. And so the nutrients aren't there. But the primary issue, there's a secondary issue around then the minerals in the soil, that we're continuing to farm the soils and nobody's putting the trace minerals back in. And then primarily the biggest issue is around nitrogen use. So what you're doing is people are using nitrogen on the soil, and what nitrogen, it stops the plant. Well, the plant no longer needs to put its roots down to fix nitrogen in the soil.
Wow.
And so if it's getting plenty of water from the top, its root structure is only about a tenth of what it should be, which then means it's only accessing the minerals a tenth of what they should be. So what we then do is that we end up with food. It's candy floss, mate.
Wow. When,
you know, it tastes like water. So you get these huge leeks, you chop them up, and they taste like water.
You get peaches, they look fantastic, and you bite in and they taste like, and there's an 80% correlation between nutrient density and taste, essentially. And so we can actually taste, once you get sugar out of the diet, you can actually taste nutrition. And so it's a real problem. And then when I found that out, and this was, you know, that was about 10 years ago that I really found that out. I only got the last piece of that puzzle like a year ago, but that's when I've got to grow my own food, Will. I'm like, I can't walk into a shop anywhere and buy that kind of food that I want to eat. Because even though it may be, say, organic, which just basically means it hasn't had chemical sprays, it's not nutrient dense. You know, have they actually put the minerals back into the soil that are missing? Are they getting the microbiology in the soil up to a level that allows those minerals to get chelated or attached to a protein for the plant to use? And then it's got to be fresh. You got to, you know, take it out the ground, chop it up, eat it off the tree in your mouth. Ideally.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that's really tough. I know that's like, so I want to give you listeners a simple step, because I know that will just be like blowing them away right now. Plant a veggie garden.
Yeah.
Okay. Even if you're in the city, if you got a little balcony, okay, just get some pot plants, get some greens going, get some kale going, some rocket, some silver beet. Okay. And then, you know, in the morning, you just out you go onto the balcony, couple of handfuls of rocket, whack that on your plate, poached eggs on they go. Okay. You can even have some hollandaise sauce. I have no problem with that.
Nice.
And there's breakfast. Boom. Away you go.
Now, wow.
For some people, they'll go good on that. For others, obviously, they might not.
So, Ben, you've probably blown a few minds, including mine. I've stolen a few things, but we'll wrap this up. So let's get people in touch with you.
Okay.
They now want to make the change.
Sure.
They know it's possible.
Yeah.
They've sat down with us. How can they contact you?
Okay, just go to www.bepure, which is bepure.co.nz. And, yes, there's a TEDx talk there that I did. And start maybe looking through our programs. We've got some 10-day clean eating programs, which gets people started. We've got the BPR program. Come to one of my talks. If they're into social media, then Ben Warren BPR, and check us out there. We've got loads of recipes there, Instagram, all that jazz. So, yeah, just start being aware of what you're eating. And it'd be an absolute honor for me to help them if they would want to be helped.
Love it, Ben. Thank you so much. Just one last thing. Uh-huh. We see the final product of you. Very slick, nice teeth. Good hair, looking nice, Ben.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate that.
Are you the same person as a kid growing up, like at school? Are you a good student?
I've been interested, and the schools that I went to, pretty much, London Comprehensive, you just survive school. Yeah. And so, yeah, I survived school, and I didn't really come into my own until I got to university. And then, but I've always been a very keen, I've always just been somebody that whatever I do, I try and do my best.
Cool.
And so, yeah, that was the same at school, and that was the same at, whatever I applied to myself to, I guess.
Love it. Ben, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me.
There we go, folks. Ben dropping some information, blowing some minds. Really cool to have him on the podcast. Really blew me away, that whole story about golfing and how, we can all relate to that. There's that one thing we thought we were built for, thought we were supposed to do, and then life took over. And part of the plan here is that we need to have this tool set to know when, to move on, to adapt. And it's funny that it doesn't feel natural. It's like a learned skill. Anyway, I appreciate your time that you've given me. I'm going to wrap this up so you can get back to life. Just hopefully that I'll be here every week on mykiwilife.com. I'll release these podcasts. We'll do this together. Couple thank yous. Crawford, he sits down and joins me in the studio to do some talking with me, to do some audio recording with me. So he's a good bugger. Thumbs up to Crawford. Paul Spain and his crew from Podcasts New Zealand. Jump on to Podcasts nz.co.nz right now. Catch up with cool podcasts, Kiwi made, Kiwi produced podcasts, including New Zealand Tech Podcast, New Zealand Entertainment Podcast, and My Kiwi Life is also on there. It's a network and it's growing. Depending when you're listening to this, we are in the steps of organizing a New Zealand podcasting conference type thing. But I will be back with more information. I'll be back with more information. So finally, from me, thank you everyone, new listeners, old listeners, everyone, hugs. It's a bit cheesy, but whatever. We'll deal with a bit of cheese. Thanks, folks. Enjoy your day, evening, night, week, whatever. Go give someone a hug. Hugs to everyone.
Whoa, this is my, 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 my.